Amen.
That is dead as they are. Amen. Well, thank God for the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege, God, an honor, what it is to be in the house of the Lord today. I understand what the psalmist meant when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
God, it's good to be in here today, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us now. I pray, God, that you'd help us to clear our mind from all these worldly affairs and attractions. And let us set our hearts and minds and affections on you, dear God. And let's get from God today, Lord, what we can get, Lord, to help us be more like Jesus. I pray, God, that you'd bless the preaching. God bless, dear God, the singing. I pray, God, that you'd give us wisdom and discernment and understanding, dear God. I pray for Brother Taylor. Pray, God, that you'd give him crisp direction, God, on what to do and who to have and
yes,
Lord, what to say. And I pray, God, that you'd meet with us.
Yes.
Lord, God, it's good to see the folks in this place. Lord, it's always a warm welcome. But God, I come to meet with Jesus. Lord, I come a long ways, dear God, just to be able to get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus passing by our way. And God, I pray, Lord, more than anything in this world, God, that you'd pass by our way. God, that you'd be manifested in this place. Lord, that you'd be magnified and glorified. It's just good, God, to be in a place, Lord, with like-minded people. Lord, we can come worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray, blessed God, that you'd invade us, Lord, with thy presence. Lord, move within our midst today, dear God. I pray that you'd touch our hearts and our minds. And God, change our life for the glory of God. We need you, oh God.
Yes,
we
help
need
us.
You, oh
yes,
God. We cry, help, oh God.
Yeah.
Help us, oh Lord, in this dark hour. And God, what a blessing hour it is. I don't know the Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us, God. Pass by our way. We love you and we thank you for the privilege of just being able to call you our God and to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for being our God. And I pray, God, that you bless the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank
before
you.
They sing one more time the same song. The Bible says that the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
You have liberty in Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Jesus said, I believe it was in Luke 4, he said, let this sink down into your ears.
Good to see you.
Let it sink down into your heart when you hear the message of this song. Many were singing it with them. Go ahead, there's liberty. Sing it with them. Amen.
All right. Amen.
But while you're singing, let it sink down in, not only your ears. Let it get down in where it grips your heart, your soul. And you think about where you were when Jesus Christ came up alongside you, amen, and found you. And you think about the pit he dug you out of. And some of you young people, I know you raised in a Christian home, and you didn't get down into the depths of the pit some of the rest of us did. But
right.
By faith,
right.
You can look in that book, and you can see that you were in the same pit that the rest of us were. Down there getting filthy, dirty, messed up by the world, and mucked up by yourself. And then just stop and think a minute where you were when Jaws found you. And lift this song up to him.
Amen.
It's been about 3-4 days now. My shouter's getting a little hoarse. Amen. I heard one person shouting during that song. That's me. Amen. Did you hear you shout? Do you get excited about anything? Listen, man. Don't tell me shouting's a southern thing.
Amen.
Don't you dare tell me that.
Yes, sir.
Brother, I shouted as a 19-year-old Yankee. Sitting up there in Buffalo Bills Stadium, the old Rich Stadium, and shout my
right,
out.
Brother Taylor.
Don't you tell me shouting is a southern thing.
Even it's your Tennessee games.
And you let God get down in your heart this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy.
Yes,
let him get down
Jesus.
In there. Let him rip out the garbage. Amen. And then plant the real, true righteousness down in there.
Thank
you ever get righteousness inside of you, it will affect you. Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Hey, wait one more. I like it. I'd like one of the ass-with-headed boys. I don't care particularly which one. I'd like you to go to that pulpit and just tell what it's like to walk out of the fold of righteousness out there in the world.
Yeah, tell
them. I don't need to hear any gore or anything of that sort. I don't need anything of that sort.
I grew up in a pastor's home. And somewhere around the age of, I don't know, just before I was in my teens, I decided a lot of it would be children. But I didn't care what was going on in church. If you got going on, Trevor, just had to be there. Just had to show up. And God turned me over to a reprobate mind. Very early teens. He gave me several more chances. I left home as soon as I was 18. And got into all the things that you can get into, and I won't go into it. And it was destruction. Unhappiness. Awfulness. Not fun. Not an enjoyable time, where I hated my life. Hated my life. I didn't know how to have happiness again. I made a decision that I could be happy doing some things that God wanted me to do. And I was raised to have lessons about how you can be happy in life, and decided I'll follow some of the rules that God applies to my life, and I will have God in my life. I'll have good character. Work. And working 40 hours a week and doing your job and always showing up will get you some sort of happiness. Comfort. I hated my life. Miserable. I found a woman out in the world. My wife, and God was very merciless to me, above my brothers, who were just as foolish as I was. That's true. God gave me one of the few women out there that would follow me back to this area.
Yes, thank you.
And I just wanted to come back because this was the only time I remembered in my life that I was happy. I was in the military for 6 years. And at that point, my wife is my wife today, and they testify, we hated our lives. No doubt I would have committed suicide had I not believed in hell, but I am absolutely certain and still am today that if I dropped dead, I'd be in hell. What would I do that? I guess the only thing I can say is beg the younger kids, the ones that are standing here that are so uncomfortable with me talking to them, that you would not ignore the preacher. You would take it seriously. It will ruin your life.
Hey. Let me say a couple things here. I didn't know which ass-pathetic boy would get up. It's the young lady brought back. She's the daughter of Mexican immigrants who have made this country a better place by coming here. They've worked every day of their lives, paid their taxes, raised a good daughter. And I'm privileged to have this young lady's daughter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But never mind. Great privilege. This church tends to get nasty. Part of the reason is my family's a basket case. So we tend to get basket cases.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
From people who really God didn't call them at one time. I remember being in the old-time Baptist church. One of the Gadano boys got up and told the story of him going out in the world, finally so sick of his own life, he crawled back to a friend in his father's house at midnight. Knocked on that door, and his father's friend came out and dealt with him, and he's wedded to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All the power of God came down on that tank.
Right.
I remember Stephen sitting there making up his mind. He fought the conviction off. He fought it off. I'm telling you, if a mountain lion attacked him, he couldn't have had to fight hard to fight that off. He's crawled back. He's crawled back. Lives an hour and 20 minutes away. They never miss a service. They never miss a Thursday night Bible study. See, some of these people here, you're wondering, what is this? Why doesn't he just get saved? Said the book of Proverbs, when I called, you didn't hear.
That's right. That's it. Right
there. When I called, you didn't hear.
Right.
You know what? There's times that God will laugh a long time at a person like that.
Right.
When my wife got saved after 17 years of anger, you realize the last 7 years she knew for sure she was lost. Knew it. Them preachers tried to pray with her. Came to Billy Parsons one time. You know what he said? He said, lady, your problem is you're not ready to get saved. You know what? She loved him. She loved him when he said that. Now it turned out she wanted to give everything to Jesus but her hate. She wanted to kind of reserve that to herself. She didn't know that. That's how, isn't God gracious to finally show her?
Yes,
that?
Sir. Thank you, Jesus.
Wasn't that
yes.
gracious to do
sure
that?
Sure was, Pastor.
What a gracious
thing. What a good guy.
Now he
yes,
loved to show her that years earlier, but after she got saved, she brought that to me in Proverbs 1. You got called upon you. You didn't hear. You wouldn't answer. Okay? What's God do? I'll tell you this. This is a good place to be if you're in that condition.
Amen. Right.
That thing I told you about with Percy Ray having a camp full of preachers. But none of them were saved. And they knew it. Say, well, that sounds crazy. Ask Brother Donnie Parsons, who got trained by those old men, trained by Percy Ray. Were they crackpots? Did they have a touch of God? You better believe they had a touch of God. Got trained by Percy Ray. Okay? See, we don't allow that anymore. We have microwaves now.
Right. Yeah.
We have microwaves. Let me tell you something. Brother Lou DeFilip Antonio, you grew up eating good Italian food. Alright? How long did it take Grandma to make that spaghetti dinner?
2 days.
2 days. Does it taste the same done in the microwave?
Yeah, no. That's a yeah.
It don't taste the same at all, does it? Alright? Why did it take? Was your grandma stupid? She didn't know you just couldn't put a little pasta in the dish and go to the store and get a little stuff. You could put your grandma dumb or something? No, she knew how to make some.
Yeah.
Alright, she knew how to do it. I'm not against the person getting saved the first time they hear it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just myself have never seen it.
Yeah.
All my fundamentalist friends are sure I'm wrong. But they don't have any converts.
That's right. Yeah.
But they're doing it right. We go into their church and you can't find anybody saved for the last 20 years.
Come on.
But they're doing it right. I'm doing it all wrong. Because I got people in here that have crawled in where the world has sickened them.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You better believe
it. The world has made them sick to their belly.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
They come in here, we wallow them a while in the Holy Ghost for the preaching of the cross.
Yes, sir.
Until whatever it is between them and God, and he can show that mercy to them, that mercy, and finally grab them by the arm and kick open that last door.
Yep.
Chained against the wall. King Zedekiah. The last sight that he ever saw was his daughters and wives being ravaged. His sons being slain in front of him. Almost 2 days earlier, the prophet had told him, if you will go out that door right now, I'm guaranteeing you that you'll live and that God will show you mercy. He still wouldn't go. Let me tell you something. You realize that's five times in the Bible that man's destruction? How many things in the Bible are in there five times? How many things in the Bible are in there five times?
Very, very few. He died chained. The core of his eyes running down. Now Jesus found me and my chains fell off. Mine eyes that have been plucked out to discern. All right? They saw that light.
I
see.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Like you're doing out there, but down at home, we're trained to get everybody.
You know what I mean? Everybody does it.
Mama, daddy, the little kids, everybody. Yeah.
You don't train them, you just let them see.
Yeah.
You just watch them. This old preacher said one time, you'll remember your mama shouting more than what your daddy told you.
Hit me!
Oh, yes!
Uh-huh.
You'll remember that rejoicing of your mama more than you all the time. You all the time this way, yeah, anyway. Because the preacher did it, amen. So you'll remember her shout more than you. That's old Billy Mitchell. But anyway, they, we got this. She, one of them got up and
Amen!
Oh.
Amen!
You couldn't find us after that.
I saw
warrants to put my son in jail for 169 years.
He himself had been crimes done against him.
By a man that's never been punished. Unless he's dead now. Say, was that easy to do? You know what my son wrote to me from jail? He said, Dad, if Eli had done this to his sons, he could have kept his priesthood. If Eli had done this to his sons, he could have kept his priesthood. I told the story how God eventually gave me back my mind and showed me where I'd stepped wrong with him, restored my understanding like he did to Nebuchadnezzar, made me no longer a castaway. Within 3 or 4 days, I saw this church. Within 3 or 4 days, this church was offered to me. The only thing I wanted was to establish a place where my family could heal. And you know what we found? We found broken families all over that needed the same healing that we have. Amen. The same healing the Esther family needed. People with the corruptions of the world just destroyed them. People that every evil thing that could ever go on has gone on in their lives. Somehow or other, that preaching helped the Esther family out of this.
Yes.
It's helped a bunch of others.
Yes, sir.
Men of God, covet your prayers. For people who once heard the gospel and walked away and yet set a reprobate mind. You think a reprobate can crawl back here? You think a reprobate can come back here and listen to the preaching of the Word of God day in and day out? Think he'd wait for those things of God? No, I don't either. I don't doubt that he acted just like a reprobate, and I don't doubt that God turned him over to it to see how he liked it. Okay? He ain't the only one. There are many a person who comes into this church in that condition. We don't have mourners benches in the church anymore. You know why? Because we don't have mourners. Pretty simple. You know what a church does when it has a bunch of pregnant women? It builds a nursery. It's common sense. You know what a church does when it has a bunch of handicapped people? It builds handicapped bathrooms. You know what a church does when it has a bunch of mourners? It builds mourner benches. When was the last time a church built a mourner bench? They don't have order. You know what? Everything's done the right way. And it's all turned to hell. Whether you go down south or up here, you go to one of these big fundamental churches, you get off an interstate, and look, everybody got the brand new cars, and they pull in there. And it's all dressed for Halloween. They don't dress that way at home.
Yes, right? Sir.
They don't dress that way at home.
Sure thing.
It's all Halloween, all right?
Yep.
Come on in there, dress different for church. And again, you get out in Pittsburgh, Buffalo, places like that, see these clubs, the Iberian Club, the Italian Club, the Serbian Club. What is that? If people come from them backgrounds and they go there and they want to act like the old country, so they sing up the old songs. Kind of hope their kids will marry somebody that's from the old country or whatever. And then they go home and act just like Americans. They don't act like Serbians in their house. They don't act like Irishmen in their house. They don't act like Italian. Well, maybe Italians. Alright? But the thing is, they don't act that way in their houses. Well, that's what fundamentalists are now. We come to the cultural club.
Yeah.
I hope your kids will get somebody from, you know, the cultural club here, and we'll sing the old song. Then they go home. They don't live like that at home.
That's right.
Yeah, come on.
Yes, sir, bro. Yes, sir, Pastor.
Well, let me say something since I'm saying something. Brother Ron Williams talked about how to guard a woman. I love it. Good sentence. I lived in Greece for a number of years, and I'm not proud of how I behaved when I lived there. But I used to go out and spend swaths of time on the Greek islands. Mykonos, Paradise. Find all those listed in the weirdo magazines and everything. But let me tell you something. I've been on beaches where only about half the people had clothes on. I've been on beaches where huge yachts are out there. I mean yachts that cost somebody will paddle the shore, hey, party tonight on the yacht, you know, everybody swims out there and such. Let me tell you a couple things to learn. Number one, the really pretty women didn't take the clothes off.
Yeah.
The really pretty women didn't do it. You know what ones took them off? The ones that need a little help to get somebody to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
That's the ones that did it. You want to know another thing? This is kind of sickening walking around all that. I was just a lost man. But the single most sensual thing I've ever seen in my life, I saw on Main Street, Columbia, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know what they did? Think of a shade on a window. They put this big shade down, and they put a light behind it. And a woman got behind that shade and changed clothes. And I'm telling you, she was silhouetted. And to this day, I'm not proud to look at that. But to this day, I've never seen a more sensual thing in my life. And yet, I didn't see it. All I saw was her silhouette. You know what I've noticed today? Women dressed, and you can see their silhouette.
Yeah.
Women dressed, and you can see their silhouette. That's how they dress. Well, the good man of God taught you that thing. Drink that body. Drink. I don't need to see how your buttocks come out. Okay? I don't need to understand the form of your breasts and things of that sort. I don't need to understand. Drink your body.
Man.
Now, the only in public library, they had to shut it for a while and build a wall. Why? Because they had a play area for the children, and they had men who would sit there just to watch the children. They finally had to build a wall where those men can't sit there and just watch the children. How do you think they wanted those little girls dressed? Or the bodies were silhouetted or draped? How do you think those men wanted it?
Yeah, come on.
How do you think they wanted it? Okay? Have some sense.
Amen. Amen.
Have some sense. First couple years we had Youth Week here. Brother McVeigh and I, we laugh about this. We weren't laughing then, but we laugh now. He brought in some girls with express purpose. They're going to show your ladies how to be ladies. Then they came in here, you know, one of the first things I said from the pulpit, I said, ladies, I believe I can go to the store and buy every one of your underwear. They're so perfectly silhouetted. They're so perfectly outlined in the dress you have. I believe I could go out and read the tag, what size, what the manufacturer is, and everything. They were so mad, what are you looking at our underwear for? Because you're showing. I'm a man, lady. I'm a man, all right? You know, the next thing you realize, they don't know how to wear a dress. My daughter could cook a tree wearing a dress. You know, it bothers me. Alright? My daughter can go on the swing set and say, old ladies didn't know how to wear a dress. That's one of the first things we notice when we start going to fundamental churches. Those women were wearing dresses, they had no idea how to do it.
Yeah. Right.
That's just something they kind of did on Sunday, alright? Just one of them things where they did. I remember going to the Catholic church where women had to wear a hat. My sisters would even put a napkin on their head or something, just anything to be able to go in there. And you realize it's just, they're just trying to do anything to get in here and look like we're part of the old, you know, the old culture or whatever. And most large fundamental churches have just given over to that. Just given over to it. I tell people in this church, we don't have a dress standard. Why? Because I want to see what you're made of, not like a silhouette. Mm-hmm. But I want to see what you're made of in the sense what your own personal standards are.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want people coming in here playing Halloween or dress up for church. Okay? Yeah. I don't want you doing that.
Right.
I want to know what's going on in your life. It's a way to say it's a pleasant thing. Okay? It's a pleasant thing when you see people. You know what? The boys in my house, they don't wear sweatpants. They don't wear sweatpants in my house. We watch their buttocks jiggle up and down and other things you call game jiggle. They don't wear sweatpants in our house.
That's right.
Amen.
We don't wear shorts in our house.
Yes, sir.
Well, I know why we don't do it. You want to do it in your house? Go ahead. I'd just soon see you put your little boys in dresses. All right? And put them in shorts. I just soon say it, all right? You know what God said? He said, you will not make unto thee a stone altar. Why? Because I don't want to see the priest nakedness.
Yeah.
What do you mean that? Here's that priest wearing that long robe down to here. How's he going to see the nakedness? Because the priest has to do this. What's God seeing? He's seeing right there. See, I thought God could see everything. He can't. But he also has eyes where he looks at the world just like we look at it. Mm-hmm. He's not wanting to see the nakedness.
Right? Amen.
You think he likes it today? So, we're telling our boys to cover up. Do they all do it? They didn't all do it. But they cover up. Cover up. Man walking around with his shirt off. Cover up. Cover up. You don't come down to Harvey's Yankees do a crazy thing. It's hot and they take all the clothes off. Yeah, that's what the Yankees do now. Them Southern farmers wear shorts out the field. No, they protect themselves from the sun. You want to know the other thing is, you know, I don't even wear short sleeves. You know why? Go out there on a hot day. Let those get just a little bit moist in here. It's a little bit moist. Let that wind blow. Oh, you've never had anything like that. Take that off. You ain't got that protection. Okay?
Oh, but we wear short shorts.
No. What's that song?
We wear short shorts.
You know,
not short shorts.
You know?
Hit me.
That's why the man of God said last night when this country gets attacked. You know what kind of defense is? They're trying to take their shorts off. Brother McGay, sing.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Why, hey, come on now.